The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
I bring you greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity you've given unto us to come at your presence and before your triune majesty. We want you, O God, to speak to us from your word and give us, O God, the power we need to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank the Dean of Student Affairs for the opportunity given unto me to stand before you at this moment and to share with you from the Word of God. And I would like us to take our Bibles and turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'll begin reading from verses 2 to 4. For the word of God says, "Consider it joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be matured and complete, not lacking anything." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. What I want us to really consider this morning is on the subject or concept of perseverance. And this concept reminds me that most often we used to use this very concept on several occasions and for many things. And it also reminds me in my high school days when I was really a boxer. And during the interstate competition of the high schools, my coach used to say, "Persevere with all the punches you will receive from your opponent." It also reminds me, you see, when we see students being overwhelmed by assignments, and they look so terrible, so miserable, so weak. And we use this concept, you know, as an encouragement to students. And we say, please persevere. And this also reminds me when I was growing up and my father was a farmer. And he used to take us from our home to the farmland from 6 to 6. We'll be the first people to get to our farm, and we'll be the last people to leave our farm. All others will come and pass us and say, "You are well done." And on their way back, they will say, "Okay, till you come." And this way, you see, it helps me to really understand, you see, the importance, the significance of this concept, perseverance. I listened to someone was telling his friend, when he was leaving, he said, he told his PhD colleague that it is not always smart people who make it at the PhD level, but those who persevere to the end. You see, all these stories, they help us to really appreciate, you see, the inclusion of the perseverance of saints in the 5 points of Calvinism. And perseverance as a concept also helps us, you know, in that it manifests our faith union with Christ in permanent and active form. It is not something passive or something abstract. And so perseverance means that the believer in a state of grace is active and obedient. so that perseverance is the long-term perspective on progressive sanctification towards our glorification. In other words, from the passage that we have read, that is James, the word perseverance is used in Greek, hupomene. And what that means, it means it could be used for endurance or for perseverance. And in this very concept or context, perseverance has a decidedly military background. It is used in that context to mean to hold out, to resist and to prevail over what? Over hostile forces that might militate against your Christian faith. Perseverance is also the picture of a Christian soldier, as described in Ephesians 6, as one who takes his stand, who is always firm, who is standing on his ground, who is also standing so firm when the enemy attacks him on all sides, he prevails. You see, perseverance, it is an inseparable aspect with faith. Perseverance helps us to understand that, you see, our believing in Christ also involves our suffering. So therefore, our focus on this subject is to help us understand that our union with Christ in his death and resurrection is not merely positional or metaphorical, but it is just as real and existential. It is also that enlivening and transforming experience in a radical reversal from a lifestyle of being dead to trespasses and sins. That is in Ephesians 2, 1 to 3 and verses 5, and to good works of new creation existence in Christ Jesus. You see, when the concept of perseverance comes into your mind, what comes first? Perseverance presupposes seasons of sin and temptation. Perseverance presupposes difficulties, trials, and pains and suffering that awaits you. You see, but because of our union with Jesus Christ, I call all this clouds. Because the moment you are really into persevering process, you see, all those things, they will just be hovering around you because the grace of God overshadows you and his power surrounds you and gives you the energy to persevere, to keep pressing on until you reach the end. It is within this context that Apostle James says, perseverance, that is, hupomone, must finish its work so that you may be matured and complete and not lacking anything as you live for your Almighty God. James here, he is describing the progress of the life of faith. Faith under trial produces perseverance, as we have it in Romans chapter 5, verse 3. While perseverance in turn produces maturity, Apostle Peter concludes by saying, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance. 2 Peter 1, 5 and 6. The frequency of this emphasis leads to the conclusion that, you see, perseverance is a basic feature of our Christian life. So how are you persevering as a Christian? Without perseverance, you will not be here. Thank God you are saved. But it is not enough. God expects something greater and more from your end. And he will not leave you alone because our God is so faithful. He tells us in his word that I will not forsake you nor desert you. He is always beside us to help us in difficult times, to help us in our moments of trials and pains, to comfort us and give us that blessed hope. You see, when you read church history and you come across the concept of or the aspect of persecution of Christians, most of us will always feel it is a thing of the past. But right now, the issue of persecution is just right at the door of our homes. If persecution, perseverance, has to do with us prevailing over and against the hostile forces that militate against our faith, what are the forces of darkness that are really militating against your Christian faith? And I want us to know that, you see, true faith perseveres. And even Apostle Paul, when he was explaining or speaking about the supremacy of the love of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, he says that love perseveres. So even in our relationships, we need to persevere. Even when you are a married man, you need to persevere with your wife. Even when you have a boyfriend, okay? You just need to persevere, or else you will not get to that goal. I said all these forces of darkness are just by the door of our homes as Christians because of our union with Jesus Christ. Why? You see, Christians in Islamic, Buddhist, and Hinduist nations are presently experiencing the worst maltreatment. For instance, in Indonesia, the Indonesian Muslims in Bekasi is a suburb area in Jakarta. They have formed a military band to stop Christianization of that village through their religious war. In Morocco, in North Africa, they have expelled more than 100 foreign Christians, and the national Moroccan Christians have been beaten with psychological heavy interrogations by the Moroccan police. In Pakistan, the Muslims ordered Christians to leave a village because the Muslims were challenged for sexual assault of Christian women and girls. And they said, leave this village. In India, Christians are being persecuted by the Buddhists and the Hinduists, and their rights for employment are being denied as citizens. In Jos, Nigeria, a Christian was asked and pressurized to renounce his faith by chanting the Islamic Shahada. But he refused, and right there and then, he was beheaded. And here in America, the ban of Bible distribution in Florida and many forms of neo-paganism that are really against the Christian faith. So, when I see your faces, my brothers and sisters, especially my brothers, American brothers and sisters, there is a great task ahead of you. But in the midst of this and many other, it is fascinating to know that the immediate implication of our eternal union with Christ is that nothing in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verses 5:38-39. And even John Calvin, he gives us three practical truths to keep in mind as we persevere, that as we are in the process of perseverance, we should know that God controls the life and the death of his children, and he preserved them by his power. That is exactly what happened to Daniel when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. The Babylonians, because of jealousy and envy, they thought that was his end. But God proved his presence with him. When he and his friends were also thrown into the fiery burning coals or fire, this same God proved that, yes, truly he is sovereign and almighty. He delivered him and his friends. The second point which John Calvin gives was, enemies of the gospel cannot defeat the children of God, for they are sealed and sustained by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts of the Apostles, you and I have read the miraculous escape of Peter from the prison. It was an act of God. And the third point, God expects the fruit from the suffering and death of the martyrs. When Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, was stoned to death, that triggered what? Evangelism. That led to the conversion of Saul, who is later known as Paul. That also led to the scattering of all the apostles in and around Jerusalem, preaching the word of God as they were running for their dear lives. That was God's divine purpose. So there's nothing that happens to God's children that God is not involved. He is always with you, and he will see you through. So if we serve the same living God of the heroes of the faith and the people that I have cited, who persevered, you and I have no excuse or reason for not doing what is right. For God, through his divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory. If you read 2 Peter 1, verse 3. So what is the significance of perseverance in the life of a Christian? What is the importance? Yes, they whom God hath accepted in his beloved, effectually called and sanctified by his Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved. Philippians 1:6 and 2 Peter 1:10 and 1 John 3:9. So first, notice that this does not mean that once you are saved, you remain saved, proceeding in total disregard of holiness and new obedience. Nothing is further from that truth. Another aspect, area of significance of perseverance in our life, is that perseverance of saints depends not upon your own strength or free will, but upon the immutability of the decree of election, flowing from the free and unchangeable love of God the Father, and upon the efficacy of the merit and intercession of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. In perseverance, God makes his grace real in the life of the regenerate. For Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in the present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify us for himself as people that are his very own, holy, to do what is good. So Ferguson says, well, if you want to minimize the reality of sin around you, then our doctrine of perseverance becomes unrealistic. He further says, when you want to minimize the reality of grace and the possibility of perseverance, that becomes impossible. Allow no place for genuine and painful conflict between sin and grace and our failures in the Christian life. This will rather plunge us into a state of incomprehensibleness. So, the doctrine of perseverance is not extrapolated from the context of the ongoing antagonism between sin and grace in the life of the believer and the kingdom of God more generally. So, and finally, perseverance. In the midst of our perseverance, as we persevere to live to the glory of God, it helps us to experience God's providence in preserving us as his faithful children. For he says in John chapter 10, verses 28 to 29, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, and therefore, I will protect them. So, or if that is what perseverance connotes, it is indeed a vital feature in our Christian life. How have you been using the divine power that God has given you to live for him, to glorify him in this hostile and fragile world? As you persevere, bear in mind that true men of faith persevere. Faith and perseverance are inseparable facets. And also believing and suffering are also inseparable facets that are embedded in perseverance. So as you persevere, you are to do it in love. Even when our enemies are on our necks, respond in love. Because love always perseveres. Do not hate them. Pray and praise God as you press on. And do not murmur or complain. You are to fix your eyes upon Jesus Christ all the time as your stronghold, as the author and finisher of your faith. For Jaffin says, suffering for Christ's sake is a gracious gift to the church. Is that a gracious gift to you? Our God is always by our side to fight for us, and even on our behalf, and through us. May this be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. And we pray, oh God, that you help us, even as you have so promised in your word, because we believe that as we persevere, we are pressing towards our glorification. And even in the process of our perseverance, you are being glorified, and we are also being glorified, because our suffering and the test of our faith is not in vain. Lord, it is my prayers that my brothers and sisters who listen to your word, oh God, will persevere to the end so that, Lord, they will grow up to maturity. And so that when we appear before your throne of grace, yes, Lord, they are going to receive the reward of the crown of life. Father, I thank you for your grace upon us and help us to keep depending on you. Thank you, Lord, because you've heard us. And indeed, you continue to undertake for us, because I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.